Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Spear of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction.
The most strategic thing to know in any season is what God is doing in that season. It is not enough to have the consciousness that you are coming into a new season. It is not enough to even know that this is the Last Day Church. It is not enough to even know that we are in the era of revival. It is important we know what God is doing in era of revival.
He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
All right, please let's be seated. Thank you so much, Streams of Life. Always, always fresh. Always fresh. Hallelujah. All right, now I know some of you, seeing that we are starting a new series about marriage and relationship, feel that probably it is violence mode and stuff like that. It is kingdom mode, all right? But that doesn't mean there will not be little violence. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise. We thank you because we know this morning again we are going to be fed with your word. We ask that there will be clarity. We ask that there will be precision. We ask that there will be understanding. In the name of Jesus. Nobody is permitted to leave here confused. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Let's please turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter number 2. As we lay the foundation for this series. I want to please request that you should not miss any of the services. And more than ever before, we are going to create rooms for questions, particularly during Bible studies, so that we will not just teach, but we can answer specific questions. The kind of questions that were coming during the sisters' meeting, we're interested in the questions. All right. Genesis 2. So let's have background understanding. Is that okay? Let's have background understanding. Let's start the reading from verse 8. Genesis 2, let's start from verse 8. So we can have rich knowledge about what is happening here. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man which he had formed, whom he had formed. And out of the garden made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, which compasseth the whole land of Avila, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. And there is Delion and Onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gion. The same compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Ethiopia is the word used to most times depict Africa. The name of the third river is Edekel. It is that which goes towards Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt die. Thou shalt surely die. Now verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Verse 19 now. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. He gave names to all the cattle and all the fowls of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh instead. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Alright? Now, verse 23. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they both were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So lots of stuff for us to understand from this scripture. And let me start by also demystifying certain things and removing certain myths. The first was that God did not say it is not good for man to be alone. He said it is not good for the man to be alone. Alright? And that was the same word that Peter used in Matthew 16. He said, you are the Christ. Alright? Because the word Christ is the anointed one. So when he says you are the Christ, it means you are the definite one. That's a definite article. So when God says that it is not good for the man to be alone, it means there are descriptions. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? There are descriptions of the kind of man that should not be alone. There are descriptions. And if you look at the description, first is that you see that the Lord planted that man in his presence, because Eden means the presence. He was a man of the presence. Then also, Adam was a man that was given a work. Now, if you pay attention to this scripture that we just read, one of the things you will find out was that the Bible said a river was flowing out of Eden. Amen? A river was flowing out of where? Eden. And then the river flowing out of Eden broke into four heads. And then began to describe territories. And then it will amaze you that God now began to describe the beautiful things that were in the land that the river is flowing to. Meaning that as the man will keep spreading his presence, all right, he's going to be coming into inheritance, coming into wealth, coming into all those kind of things. So that's the kind of man that God looked at and said, this man should not be alone. Number two is the fact that God brought different creatures to that man to see what he would call them. Are you following what I'm saying? To see what he would call them. So he was calling them their names as he was led by the Spirit. But the Bible said that among these ones was not found help meet for him. So now if you look at that scripture, is God trying to say that women are afterthoughts? Definitely not. They are not afterthought. As a matter of fact, the woman is as old as the man. Genesis 1 verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. What? Male and female created he them. So Genesis 1 describes the creation. Genesis 2 describes the method or the process of creation. So, in Genesis 1, the both of them has been formed. Hello? In Genesis 2, we are seeing how God did it. With the man, he formed him with the dust and released breath. With the woman, he took a rib from the man. So I want to say loud and clear, as a woman, women, I want to say after me, say I'm not an afterthought. Now, you see, you guys, most times, I want you to say it. Want to have women supporting women. You know, say it again. I'm not an afterthought. Are there people who base among you? Say it one more time. I'm not an afterthought. All right? So the woman is also, the woman is very important in the agenda of God. The vision of God towards humanity cannot be fulfilled or could not be fulfilled except that God has brought the woman. And I have shown you this description. That man of God, come. Come. All right? If I ask you to, Pastor Toby, come, bring this, whatever it is, I don't know. Just put it there. Now, sit on it. Now, carry the both of them together. I don't have iodine here. Okay, you are trying. You have to stand up. Now, you see, if you are struggling to do this job, and I'm saying to you, I'm going to send and help that is meat. Hello? Alright, I'm going to send and help that is meat. If I'm sending somebody from children's church, am I sending and help that is meat? Talk to me now. Good. What does that mean? Your help meat is not someone who is lesser than you is in strength. Listen, wait. Hold on. Let me explain this so we can understand. Anybody who will be able to help you will either be as strong as you are or stronger than you. If this simple truth is not understood, see, in most of the cases where marriages went south, the women knew exactly what to do to help the man, particularly virtuous women. But in most of the cases, because the man is not receiving the strength and the supply that comes from the woman. And sometimes because we confuse scriptures that women are weaker vessels. Have you seen a woman in labor trying to push? How weak is that? I can't be a woman for a day. Not for any amount. Why? Let's celebrate the women again. Amen. It takes a lot. Are you following what I'm saying? This is not a hype service. I just want us to get the balance. My wife is smiling very well to me this morning. So I think what I'm saying is nice. Are you following what I'm saying here? Say it again. As men, I want to say after me, say, God is sending me an help. Those of you who are married, don't say, if you are here sending, you say, has sent me. Say, God is sending me an help that is meat. Not house help. See, hold on a minute. If you make your wife an house help, it means your jurisdiction in destiny is just the house. She is to be an help wherever your jurisdiction covers. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's a very strict warning. Don't make your wife house help. And, oh Lord, help me. Anyways, we said we have to activate violence a bit. Put it back. Thank you. So let me celebrate them. Let me start from a very simple place. Are you aware that there are jobs that people are doing now that will no longer exist in a couple of years? Hold on a minute. Are you aware? Who can give me a... Okay. For those of us who are in business or who are innovators, how many of you know what is called disruptive innovations? They are kind of innovations that their existence, I want to paraphrase it now and make it simple, will actually mean that something that has been trying to get that job done will die. For instance, I think the first time I ever saw a VCD should be maybe 2001 or so. And it was with this song, Awilo Logomba. You know that song?
Yeah.
And I remember growing up, when you go and there are stores we used to go and rent cassettes. Kotwaye. When you watch that movie, I can't remember this movie now. Oku kuleku kuleku. Some of you are Indo people. Leku, you know. We'll go and rent the cassette. Then we'll now buy this rewinder. Wow, 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 wow. But when VCD came out, we moved away from those things. All right, because the invention of VCD is actually disruptive. It disrupted the market. If they are not going to upgrade, they will have to go out of market. Are you following what I'm saying? And now, well, I don't know. You barely find places where they are still using VCD because there are smart TVs. You have Netflix, you have Prime Watch, whatever all those things are. That without any connections, just your internet, you have everything you need. If those who are producing those VCDs will not upgrade, they will watch their business die. There's nothing they can do about it. Amen. There was also a time that what was reigning was BlackBerry. Bold 1, Bold 2, Curve 1, Curve 2, Curve 3. But when Android came, send them out of the market. Many of you are using old softwares, and there's a need for you to upgrade. For instance, while I was growing up, one of the things that was common when subject of marriage is discussed in church is that before you get married to any woman, test her to see if she can make soup with 70 naira. Hold on a minute. So, hold on. See, please pay attention. The totality of a woman's virtue was summed up in her ability to bring something delicious from a little amount of money. In those days, all it took to be a husband is to provide food, provide shelter, and to provide clothing. Once you can do that, go and check the way our fathers, our grandparents did their marriage. Those women didn't want, they were fine. But we are in the days that an average woman already has her job. She can buy her own clothes. She can feed herself. She can do most of the basic things that you have thought is all that makes you a man. How then can you be a husband in this system? So it means, and you see, the Bible, listen to me. The Bible is not being upgraded. In that scripture is captured the wisdom of God. What the world is about to come into is already captured in the Bible. So it means that we are the ones who have not really understood most of these things. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me give you an instance. If you are marrying a woman who happens to be the head of NNPC, will you keep her in the kitchen? and say, because men have ego, so I can't bear to watch that. You are my wife, you are my wife. You must have been a very wasteful person to do that. I'm going somewhere. Because one of the things we will have to check out is our culture. Should a woman know how to cook? Yes. Why should she know how to cook? Because she should know how to eat good food. Should a man know how to cook? Yes. Why? Because he also likes good food. The days of raising our children to learn to sew because they are going to husband's house is over. Sweep because you also should live in a clean environment. And these things have formed foundations and bases for abuses. Do you get what I'm saying? And that's why it is very dangerous for a man who has not found God to find a wife. It is very dangerous. Now I think I'm stepping on toes. Brothers who can cook here, shout hallelujah. Okay. You see, wait. My issue was that somebody also shouted and Brother. Jesus, don't come now. Some brothers will burn water if they boil it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know a few of them. I'm just not going to mention them. They will burn the water. You know that water has aroma. Oh, yes. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, hold on a minute. One time somebody was getting married and some of his friends were asking that you've been piling up your clothes for days and days. You are not washing them. This, and you know you are getting married and all that. Why are you to say, see, you know what he said? He said, sister is coming. Now, the reason why God said it is not good for a man to be alone in the first place is so that the both of them can partner in advancing the course of his work in their lives. I want to say some things, but because we have to take some time, you know, sometimes you have to soak certain things before they can absorb. Then you now peel them. If I just give you bow, you're like, what is this saying? Many of the things we have defined culturally as the yardstick for rating a good wife, they are actually there because of poverty. Sorry. Do you agree with me? Only the sisters are answering. Pastor, are you trying to stop all these home trainings? No. You are a man too. You will give birth. Having sent your children to school, and then somebody now begin to rate their effectiveness by their cooking skill. Again, should a woman know how to cook? Yes. Everybody who knows how to eat good food should know how to cook. Hello, church. Hello. I said church. Hello. Now you are quiet. The purpose of marriage is not kitchen. It's not laundry. The purpose of marriage is the advancement of the cause of God in your life. And let me say this as a form of prayer, not a statement, so that at least you cannot but say amen to prayers. God is going to so bless you that both you and your spouse will be busy getting a lot of productivity in the name of Jesus. Say that amen again loud and clear. Amen. Now, you know, one of the reasons why this issue of ASU strike can be so painful, for instance, is that children who thought they have jailbreak and they have gone to school, now they are at home, somebody is going out and say, let me spread those clothes, let me pick those clothes, let me wash this baby, let me wash that pot, let me do this. That is exactly what many women are feeling in their homes. Women, I beg you in the name of God, be productive. Take this statement simply. Let it be that all you are producing is not children. If God says you are an help that is meet, be an help indeed. Because one of the things that also causes issue in marriage is that most women are expecting from their husbands what they should expect from God. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, for instance. If you are a sadist, your husband can't give you joy. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, every one of us, male and female, created in them. Lift our hands up and say, amen. These hands, come on now, say it again. Say, these hands will produce great things. These hands will produce great things. My hands will not be idle in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So, I've spent time praying for your hearts before I start teaching so that what I'm saying will be well understood. The purpose of marriage is for kingdom advancement. And by that doesn't mean preaching. God can advance the kingdom through your businesses, through your inventions, through your ministries if you are called to ministry, through your many things. Now, I just speak the question in my spirit. Are there women who have a calling to raise children and all? Yes, of course. Yes. There are women who have a calling to raise prophetic seed. Every woman should actually have that calling. Amen. Are you getting the balance? Now, if we don't put these things in perspective, many people are going to lose the will of God for their lives because of things that can change. Because of things that can change. For instance, a woman who doesn't know how to cook something meal and learn it. Can learn it. A man who doesn't have good command of English can learn it. When you are trusting God for a spouse, you have to see deeper things. I'm not trying to endorse laziness. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we must understand the reason why God is bringing two people together. Deuteronomy chapter number 32 verse 30, if I'm correct. I think so. Deuteronomy 32 verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight? Alright? One. Chase how many thousand? 1,000. Two. How many thousand? 10,000. Are you following what I'm saying here? So when one is doing certain things and then doing certain things, all right, two should put 10,000 to flight. Now, the reason why most times, I'm trying to go to the foundation and all that. You know, the first marriage school you attended is the marriage of your parents. It is either fortunately or unfortunately so. Because one of the most difficult things to take from anybody is tradition, culture. And that's why you can see that an average Yoruba man or Igbo man can be in America for 30 years. And yet, if you want to marry from that place, you still have to wear those cultural. Are you following what I'm saying? You are never going to wear suits for engagement. You are going to wear those cultural clothes. True or not true? If you are married into the Igbo family, for instance, you are going to go and tell the uncles, the uncles are powerful position in that place. So you are going to tell the uncles, I want to marry your daughter, and they expect for you not to have told the girl. I don't, many people have told the girl, but they just expect for you not to have told the girl and all that. So you tell the uncle and all that. Then they will ask you questions. They will now send somebody to go and check your family house. Oh, yes. Somebody will go and check your family house and check your lineage. How are they doing? Ask questions. So tradition is powerful, but it is not necessarily correct. Only the scripture is correct. So we need to start finding definitions. We need to start finding correct methods as laid down in scriptures. If not, we are going to have problems. But listen to me. This also is not an endorsement of despise to traditions, particularly when your spouse is very big on them. Give you an instance. Because we have to be a generation of balance. You can't go and see, as a lady, before you go to see the parent of the first fellow you want to marry, you ask questions. Alright? Depending on how, whatever, the family is. Maybe the mother of your husband is making some food to welcome you. You just sit down in the parlor, you cross your leg, and you are watching Netflix and say there's no way it is written in scripture that we should help mother-in-law and all that. Eventually, you will have to marry the author of the scripture. Amen. Say there's a place for wisdom and understanding. Do you get what I'm saying here? All right? So that by the time we start trusting God for his spouse, we are looking out for the correct things as laid down in scriptures. Where am I going? Where is he going? She saved? Is he saved? Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, has he found his purpose yet? I've said this again and again. If you have not found your purpose, don't propose. Don't propose. Because you can't invite someone to join you on a journey to nowhere. You've got to know where you are going. And that's why marriage is not for boys. Marriage is for men and women, not for boys and girls. And then you also understand that the age you attend being a man is relative. There are grown boys and young men. Are you aware? Ah, okay. Now, listen to this. Never forget that it is not just the woman that is coming to help the man fulfill his dreams. The man also is helping the woman to fulfill her dreams. So, if your God-given purpose and visions have to die because you are getting married to somebody, it's a wrong placement. The proof that you are in the will of God is that it is even strengthened and enhanced. Are you following what I'm saying there? Good. Now, this is foundation, but please listen to me. Now, it takes singles to marry. Are you aware? I said it takes singles to marry. Are you aware? Uh-huh. For this purpose, a man, not men, a man, leave his father. And then the word single is actually not the word singular. The word single is the word complete. It's the word all. So it takes somebody, listen. Marriage is not an attempt of God to fill the void of loneliness. When you are lonely, you need to learn how to be social, not to go and bring a spouse. God is not solving the problem of loneliness through marriage. Are you following what I'm saying? So it takes singles to come together and marry. So your spouse is not a better half. Are you following what I'm saying here? Sometimes people introduce their spouse and say, meet my better half. That's not scripture. Singles are, and people don't understand the fact that being a single is a powerful opportunity. Many people want to run out of it. You don't understand that. See, when you are single, you have a fantastic opportunity to build yourself, to enjoy your life. I'm not saying go and do worldly stuff. To build yourself, to develop yourself. Now, I can't just wake up one morning and say, I'm traveling today. I will not be back until weekend. I can't do that. I have to start thinking of how to begin to drop my manifesto days before. By coming back from the office with shawarma. In case you don't know, my wife likes shawarma. Then, so once my wife gives you that Chinese smile, oh yes, ask and it shall be given. So, you now say, so babe, we have, but when I was single, there was a time, maybe in a month, I'll be at home less than four times. I was always everywhere, discovering, going to all those places. What now? It is what it is. And sometimes I'm holding very important meetings and my daughter is crying and all that. I just tell the people there, I say, thank God I have been doing this thing before you were born. I say, thank God. If not, you are just going to disturb me. I'm not going to get anywhere. Oh, yes. So if you are single, and that doesn't mean singles are not just those who are not in a relationship. As long as you are not married, you ought to be single. Amen? That's the fact. So, if you are single, say it, I am blessed. Yeah, say it again, I am blessed. So, you have a very fantastic time to yourself to grow, to pursue God the way you want to do it. You can check out for a retreat. Even my wife cannot just wake up one morning and say, I'm going out for a retreat. And I'm going to where? Not going where? Ah, you didn't tell me, we have to plan this retreat. Very well. So once you are hooked, you are hooked. You are married, you are hooked. But as a single, you have time to serve God, to do many things, to grow. Not that marriage, too, you don't have those time, but ask those who are married. They'll tell you for a fact. One time I was listening to a testimony by a woman of God online. She was planning a conference, a very powerful conference. And while she was in the heat of that conference, she came back from church on Sunday. They had a baby, somebody was carrying a baby. She was trying to arrest because they've been planning and planning and planning. The husband just came to meet her and said, I want to eat jollof rice. So the woman said, what? Of many things that we can microwave now in this house, I want to eat jollof rice. See, this is your jollof rice, we'll have to wait and all that. So she locked herself in the closet, she was going to pray. And the Lord spoke to her. Go and say to your husband. That's how this thing called marriage can be. There was one time I was going to go for a meeting. And I saw total, not displeasure, that longing that every time traveling is still with us. Oh boy. I picked my phone and begged the host. See, your ministry will continue whether I'm there or not. But your programs can be powerful and my own family is falling. Please, I will not be able to come. And one of the things many people have done wrong is that they place ministry ahead of their home. It's a wrong formation. Family first. And when you understand this, you will know it's a very powerful privilege that God has given to you as a single to grow, to do many things. All these people are rushing in and they are rushing out. I can't wait to, every time you are chatting, I can't wait to have you. I can't wait to finally be yours. I can't wait for us to finally, when that time finally comes, You'll not be saying, I wish I can have small break, and then I wish I can have this, I wish I can do that. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, listen to this. It means marriage will always be determined by the quality of singles coming into it. What did I say? Marriage will be determined by the quality of singles coming into it. Marriage will be determined by the quality of singles. And when we're talking about quality, we're talking about mentality. We're talking about depth of relationship with God. We're talking about many things that forms that word. A sad single will be a sad spouse. A very hot-tempered single will be an hot-tempered spouse. And that's why, let me say this to you. In fact, one of the ways to predict what your marriage will look like is to ask those you have lived with at one point or the other. See, you are not likely going to produce a different home. There is no miracle that happens at the altar. Ring does not change character. It doesn't change character. So, when you were having roommates, what was your life like? That is likely what your marriage will be like. Oh, yes. Because all this packaging, there's something called new wife syndrome. Oh, yes. Carry pots. I want to do it for my husband. I'm going to do this. When all those initial gra-gra has gone down, then real wife syndrome or real husband syndrome now comes. Some boys, when they stay, you'll be picking their boxers on the fan, pick their boxers under the bed. Some boxers are growing fungi. Sorry. I know they are not here. Lie. Straight up lie, guys. Best you can find in town. Yeah. People are looking at me as if I'm lying. Okay, I'm now going to go back to this violence. And then, I say you guys are the best in town. Yeah. So, it is not likely going to be different. What is the testimony of your younger ones about you? What is the testimony of your roommates? What is the testimony of your landlords? You know, when people are misbehaving, you just have the impression that you are doing so because it is them. When it's somebody, no, you are doing that because that is who you are. And if you don't deal with those things everybody are calling your attention to, do this, do that, you are going to continue it in marriage. You have to deal with it. Be calm. Sometimes you are right, but on top of your voice, you are wrong. Be calm. Learn character. Learn the things you should learn. Many boys I've met, so I'm wrapping up now, because second service starts immediately, that I will tell them as singles, can't you even pray for 30 minutes? Can't you even fast at least once in a week? One time, like one of them, and it, one time I announced that we're going to have 7 nights of worship. As we started the worship, like he just came to kneel down my leg, held my leg, and slept off. You would think, he slept off. He slept so badly, he was snoring. Yes. I did a teaching just for married people, 10 things that most married people wish they can tell their spouse. So I spoke about them on their behalf. I'm not really enjoyed that. Don't shout. That kind of, our own meeting is coded. We are not going to shout. We are waiting for you on the other side. So by the time you come, we are waiting for you. Amen. So the quality of singles will determine the nature or the quality of the marriage. Never forget as I wrap up. No miracle takes place at the altar. No miracle takes place. You are joining who they've always been together. So, problems are predictable not when you are married, but as singles. How do you think? What's your view about marriage? Oh, yes. I think my wife was sharing a story one time like that. I don't know who was sharing the story. Somebody, one girl like that, was it a girl, just texted the husband and said, I've broken up with you. Yeah. What? Are you, were you going to share that story? She broke up over text message, marriage, not relationship. Yeah. Yeah. Let me say this to you. I'm just going to mention this statement, then I'll continue doing second service. See, it is good that you are a strong woman. But there's a level of, there's a kind of strength that is not strength. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a kind of strength that is not strength. See, women, your power is in your softness. Particularly those of you who are firstborns in your home and you were bullying your younger ones up and down. If you bring that mentality into marriage, let's leave the rest. Have you been blessed this morning? All right. I'd like us to lift our hands to God and say, oh Lord, help me in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, help me that this particular subject, I will fulfill your exact will in it, in the name of Jesus. Your exact will, in the name of Jesus. Those of you who are not married, pray for yourself. Pray for the person you marry. Some of you don't know the person yet. Sometimes it is possible you think it is a person and it will not be the person. Oh yes. So pray. And Lord, you will guide me, you will lead me into accuracy. In the name of Jesus. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
The blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME.
To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of this account details. Account number 221-500-5289, Femi Lazarus Ministries, UBA.